Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the American Legion Show. Tonight, our guest will be Mr. David Root. Very interesting guy and patriot. I met him down at Rocky Red back in 2020, January. And as soon as he comes on, I will put him on. But first, a lot of things are happening this week. And it don't make any sense. It's been a rough couple of months with Afghanistan, General Milley, and all these other things that are coming out about people usurping the Constitution. So things have to be addressed, and it seems like nobody has any control over the people who do this. Why aren't they arrested yet? So I'm going to bring in my guest, David Root.
Good evening, Kevin. Can you hear me?
It's been a while since we talked in person.
Absolutely. It's been too long, man. Can you hear me okay, Kevin?
So,
are we having problems with the phone? Can you hear me okay?
So, David, tell me what you, can you tell people about yourself?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Number one, first and foremost, born again Christian. Saved by God's grace and mercy, and I am one who was born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts. I have an awesome family that I'm proud of to say I am part of their family. I have an absolutely remarkable son who just turned 22 a few weeks ago. He's my gift from God. 18 years old, I joined the Air Force and have been gone away from my home state, which I didn't intend to be, for all these years, and so we certainly can talk more about our military background, Kevin, both of us being Air Force,
right.
So I joined the Air Force, and God brought me down to Georgia and South Carolina for my last 4 years, and I've been in South Carolina since, let me think here, almost 40 years. So, and then
I love getting in South Carolina.
It's an interesting state, I'll tell you, Kevin. It's one of those where being born and raised in Boston, and literally the next town over from Concord, as I used to say. So when we studied the American Revolution in middle school, literally our field trip several times was to the battlegrounds. And here all these years later, then moved down to South Carolina. And my ex-wife is from the upstate, it's called, of South Carolina. And one of the little bitty towns is called Cowpens. So when you came down where we met at the Rock the Vet, Rock the Red, I can spit it out, event. We weren't too far from literally the turning point in the American Revolution, the Battle of Cowpens and the Battle of Kings Mountain in North Carolina. We're just not a very big force, but we've been pretty much losing most of the battles up to that point. So yeah, it's been fascinating seeing the area, the history as far as the American Revolution goes. I know we're going to talk about the Constitution, but you're right. It's one of those where we've got, you know, so many aspects of this, and I heard you just talking about General Milley, and I consider him a unique in uniform. He's a traitor, and he's done absolutely nothing to defend our country, and it's heartbreaking knowing that 13 of our heroes and warriors were unnecessarily lost just a few weeks ago on their complete incompetence.
Exactly, and I mean, all the blame goes on his side. I mean, he's the military strategist, and Biden relies on him, and I heard he's the one that made the decisions that everything went backwards or negative. So I don't understand why these people are not arrested, or because they chose the wrong options. You know, I heard somebody say this: sometimes you make mistakes, other times you make choices, and these were choices. These are not mistakes.
Absolutely, and you know, Kevin, we're pretty well connected as far as having some inside sources. And I, in my current job for the last 10 years, I'm a what's called a hotshot express courier. So I'm in and out of businesses literally all day long. And, you know, I times, for the most part, I wear my veterans and my Air Force hat, and I talk to other veterans, especially if they're a little bit older, the guys that were in Vietnam. I can't thank them enough for what they did, and those that from the current era, the youngsters, as we say, as we get a little bit longer in the tooth here. But as I talk to these young guys who, like we did, they volunteered. And I remember so poignantly, it was about 2 months ago, a guy that I've gotten to know a little bit, and he's, these companies we go in and out of, that literally most of the products that people have in their houses, whether they're automotive related, or I can go through a long list of that, but it's given me the opportunity to meet so many people. So this one young guy, probably late 20s, and had his Army hat on, and so I thanked him for service, and he thanked me for mine, and I wanted to get to know him a little bit as we were waiting for the shipment to get finished before he completely loaded me up with the forklift. And so as I asked him, because I could tell he had been in the Middle East, he had 3 tours over there, I believe he told me, and very quickly, and he wasn't saying it nonchalantly, but because it was more of a just matter of fact that to his world, he said, yeah, we only lost 3 guys. And I stopped him. I said, only 3 guys. And Kevin, you and I are passionate, number one, about Jesus. God values each and every person's life, and the current people that are in office have 0 value for people's lives, especially the military. They despise our military. So this young man who lost 3 of his buddies, and they put us in harm's way, and for what? We're just pieces of meat and serfs and peasants. So it is. It's where, and I got to say real quick, Kevin, I got a chance to listen to your interview with Donovan Larkins, and what a powerful man of God, and the things that he has accomplished and is doing. And that was kind of tying in with some of the things that he was saying as far as life goes and what they're doing to our kids. And so we're up against it. We know that Satan is full force, but those that have positions, I don't call them leaders, people in positions of power right now that are using their positions to do even more evil.
Totally agree with that. And that's what they're doing, the whole thing. We can talk about all kinds of things, like the constitutionality or the non-constitutionality of, like Donovan is saying, shots, no choice. These things are not what America is about. And the president told us, it's not going to be required. And now he's turned his back on us. And then he's angry at us. So what's up with
Absolutely.
That? Is he following the Constitution, or is he's just a dictator right now, in my opinion?
Absolutely. And they're always constantly, whether it's Pelosi or Biden or whoever, they're always saying, oh, we're in a constitutional crisis. They're absolutely right. But it wasn't Trump. It was everything that they could throw at him with we know now, Milley. Calling the Chinese on his own, we can go through this laundry list. John Kerry, former in his position, his daughter's married to an Iranian, but Milley in particular, where as soon as Trump was elected, they already said before he was elected that they were going to impeach him, and they hadn't even not been sworn in yet. But with Milley, here he is. He's talking to our enemy. Now, it's not an enemy, and this is one of the distinctions, because we know, Kevin, words matter. So the distinction for me is the fact that to them, China and the Middle East and whoever, they are not the enemies of Biden, and I call them the puppet masters, whether it's George Soros or whoever else is pulling the strings. But to them, they're not their enemies. They're working with them. They make money hand over fist, and those of us that swore an oath to the Constitution, as you said, Milley and his cohort should have been in prison and brought up on charges of treason long ago, never mind. But I want to go to General Flynn, who's a true hero. He made a phone call before he was totally sworn in, if I remember correctly. But the phone call that he made, there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. And they literally have tried to ruin his life over a phone call that was absolutely nothing wrong with it. And yet we have a general who's in charge of our military, is the Joint Chief. And he's doing everything he can to undermine our country and our warriors. And what does he get? He's going to get book deals. He's going to get more with the different companies when he finally gets out. But these guys, they just have to sell us out every second of every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's going against, chain of command, Constitution, and freedom, rights, and crossing the lines. You can't have somebody go – so if I would have done that, or you would have done that in the Air Force, we'd been, in deep trouble. I mean, we'd be kicked out or whatever.
Absolutely.
But these are political appointees, so that's why he gets away with it because he can't touch him. You know, you'd have that majority in the House or the Senate to do anything to anybody now. And it should be, you know, the law is the law, the rule is the rule. Like it is in the military, you break the law, then you're done. So it's not over yet. We'll see what happens.
Well, we'll certainly pray about it and keep our fingers crossed at certain points that something will happen. But you're right. I remember one of the young guys that literally took just a handful of pictures inside of one of our submarines. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe he went to, you know, to prison for X amount for taking pictures. Now, should he have done it? Absolutely not. It was against regulations, as you said. You know, here it is. We've got people that, whether it's, you know, Comey or the people in the FBI, they are supposed to be upholding the law and upholding our code of military justice, and they are breaking it every day. And then yet they will hold, like I apologize for forgetting his name. You probably remember it, but the lieutenant colonel who recently resigned because in charge of the Space Force, one of the divisions. Yeah, just another warrior who stood up and you know what happened. As soon as you got Vindman and these other guys that are in uniform, completely undermining President Trump, and this guy was basically bringing up the facts that, look, why are we teaching this critical race theory? It's dividing the country, and you're calling us racist just because of your color of your skin, and it doesn't matter. We go back, of course, to the Martin Luther King saying, you know, judge me by my content and my character, and don't do it by just the color of my skin. And it's, which is interesting too, Kevin, when you wrote your book, you know, growing up white.
Yes.
And,
yes, sir.
That was one of the first times when we first met. It was very.
Yes. Right. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. As far as all these crazy classes and courses that they pushed in the military, you know, that was going on during the Obama administration. People hated it because I was in at the time. It was absolutely a mess. It had nothing to do with being military or being ready. It was always over and over again. You got to have this training. You got to have this training. It's more important than everything else in your life. You got to have this training. People absolutely hated it. Then they went around and they cleaned up these offices and shops saying, hey, you can't have these kind of posters up. It might offend somebody. And it was like, what's going on here? But we got things painted on the side of airplanes that I can't talk about.
Yep.
And it's okay.
Absolutely.
So you know, it's just, it's taking the teeth out of the military.
Intentionally. Look at you. Yeah. Listen to one of the advertisements they had for the Army, and they were talking, had this girl talking, oh, I grew up with two moms and I wanted to make it. It's like, okay, if you did, fine. Can you do the job? Can you do the job or can't you do the job? And that's one of the things that you remember as far as, you know, whether it was basic training, especially, you know, you get guys in there. And one of the things, looking back, Kevin, I've been a tennis pro, a free tennis lesson when I was 11 years old, literally changed the course of my life. And I love coaching because of what we can accomplish with it. So as I look back from that perspective of a coach, when joined the Air Force and go down to basic training, and I was 18 and extremely naive. The things that I did not know were pretty staggering, but that's just the way that I was. I literally grew up played sports and went home and never got in trouble, and I didn't know most about life. So I got down to the Air Force, and here it is. I'm in basic training with guys that were from New York and L.A., and they said, okay, you stole a car. You can either, you know, go to jail for a little while, or why don't you join them? You want to join the military? Oh, yeah, sign me up for that military thing. What I remember, though, Kevin, specifically was once we got our haircut and all of our uniforms were exactly the same. So you had the rich kids, you had the poor kids, you had the kids that were troublemakers, whoever the case, and some of them also, of course, were older. They were, you know, 24, 25, 26. But what I remember specifically was once we all were, quote unquote, equal as far as how we looked, haircuts for the most part, and then our military drab fatigues. And then they started to break you down and who can handle it. But the guys who, to me, that were a little bit of the troublemakers, they made them the flight leader to see how they were going to handle it. And so, like I said, it's a fascinating dynamic as far as how it worked. And that's here it is.
That
you've got
is,
all
that
these
is
people
interesting.
Changing. And today, you know, they oh, we got to be little friends. We got to be. No, that's not what it's about. We're there to defend our nation.
Yep, exactly. It is an interesting thing when everybody's hair gets shaved off. You don't know who anybody is. You don't remember what they look like. So everybody's the same, which is it's so amazing how little power we had in basic training.
We couldn't do anything. And that's something most people don't experience. You have absolutely no power to say or do it. You are told when to speak, or you have to request it, and all this stuff. Everything you do is laid out before you by the drill sergeant. And I've never felt so powerless in my life. But I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's good. And if you understood what you're getting into, it's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And no matter what you do, if you're strong enough, and again, you're there for the right reasons, then, all right, this is part of the training. And if you can't take a little bit of that, and then I also remember, like you were saying, as far as them controlling, and I wasn't somebody who liked to get up early. It's like, man, I need to get up at, what was it, 4:15 or 4:30 and go march, and wait a second, what's this stuff? But you're right, if you couldn't handle that, and then fold your T-shirts, which I didn't mind that. I'm very AR as far as anal retentive. Folding my T-shirts exactly right. That's like, hey, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But
right.
To break us down, build us back up. And as you alluded to earlier as well, because, of course, you're going through it, and I look back and I go, okay, the guys who literally could not take it got kicked out. And the military's not for everyone. We know that. But those that had an opportunity for the first time, because one of the things you were discussing with Donovan was, as we know, one of the biggest challenges with our nation is the lack of fathers in our nation. The lack of fathers.
So
if you've never had the discipline, if you've never had somebody who believed in you and would build you up and help you through things, again, all of a sudden you're in basic training, and those that would actually listen and learn from it could training, and maybe they didn't have a good dad or no dad in their life. Well, here's military as your dad, and grow from it. So,
yes, totally agree. And there's a lot of heartbreaks there, in basic training, because all the women who left their boyfriends or separated from them while they were there, they're just devastated. It's like, whoa, I mean, that's the worst thing you can do. And they never really recovered from that.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And you coming from a military background is one of the things I think we've talked about it briefly, but do you remember when your dad left, when you guys left Indiana, Grissom?
Yes. I think we left there in, 75-ish.
Okay. I was thinking it was somewhere around there. So the small world that it is, that was because that was my after tech school in Mississippi. My first assignment was Grissom. So had your dad stayed a little bit longer, I got there in 77. So again, your dad was at a base that all these years later, you and I meet and start to talk. And it's like you were aware,
right?
Why don't you? And not only that, but your dad was near traffic control like I was. What a small world.
That's right. Yep. RAPCON. That's right.
Yep. RAPCON.
So
So
you guys, I appreciate you guys. I've been in the tower, that tower, specific tower, many times. My dad would take us to his job. And it's just fascinating, the technology and the things that, even back then, what they were doing there. So it's a fascinating, all these career fields in the military are fascinating. You could be, a jet engine mechanic. It could be all kinds of things that you can never do in the civilian world. And it actually gives you responsibility and makes you grow up.
Absolutely.
And
once again,
responsibility
sometimes
incredible.
People aren't willing. We look at these athletes and, he's 23 years old. He's a starting blah, 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 blah. Well, you think what you were doing at 23, and I know I was at 22. I was assistant crew chief with, 22 guys and responsible as a controller for tens of thousands of lives every month. And absolutely. So, some people, as we know, they're either not cut out for a particular job or they're not cut out for leadership. So that's something you can either grow into, or maybe that's just who you are. But it does. It gives you that unique opportunity. And then I'll go back for a second to those 13 that just were completely unnecessarily lost their lives just a matter of weeks ago. And how old were they? 20, 21, 22, 20. I think the oldest was 31. And the responsibilities that they had and what they were accomplishing. And then we look and say, okay, part of it for me is do you value, and I want to talk briefly, Kevin, if you don't mind, about we had a rally this past Sunday in Greenville where we met for just medical freedom, and one of the young ladies that came up to me after, and I'll tell you about that. But, life, for those of us that understand life, not only begins at conception, but it's so precious. And when we have people in positions of power these days who again, don't value life, that they just put us out there and say, if you guys lose a leg or lose an arm or lose your life, then just move on to the now. That's not how it's supposed to work. Now, God determines, but it is certainly one where one of the things that I appreciate about you and your sweet wife is your concern and compassion for helping people. So you value people's lives.
Exactly. So tell me about this rally.
So
I love Greenville.
Greenville's it's growing like a weed, and so is Spartanburg and other parts, and some of it's certainly not very good the way that it's growing so quickly. But we have gone, and certainly I'd also like to share what we've been doing as far as our local Tea Parties and the local GOP and major milestones have been reached after many, many years of fighting against the establishment. So we had I participated. I was not someone who organized this one because I worked too much. But so I was in Alabama, rushed back to try to get there in the afternoon for this rally. And as I pulled around the corner, and I tell you, Kevin, we've had years and years and years, and this is Greenville, just so people know, it's the biggest county in South Carolina, and it represents voting block of 11% of the entire voting block for the state. So even though I've never lived in the county, that's where I've invested my time as far as the political world and grassroots, because I know how important it is. So we've fought for years with the establishment, because we know, once again, it's just the uniparty. They don't really care about what really happens, and they just want to keep on keeping on and make their money and their connections. So this rally was for the opportunity to say, we determine whether we get this shot or not. We determine whether we're going to wear masks or not based on the actual science, based on facts.
Yes.
So as I rushed back into town, it had been going on for about an hour at that point, two-hour rally, and as I came around the corner, and all of a sudden I hear people honking horns, and so bottom line, after years and years and years of 20 people, 30 people at some of our meetings, I can't tell you exactly, and I wish I could, I knew exactly, I tried to find out and I couldn't reach them, but hundreds of people that were out there, and most of them were new to our organizations on what happened in the 2020 elections. And then when I talk to them, invariably they will say, I ask, well, thanks for being here, and why are you here? I finally had enough. Okay, we've been trying to get you out for 10 years. Thanks for being here. So with this rally, again, just amazing, just peaceful, obviously, and just wonderful patriots. So when it was all over, as I'm introducing myself to some of the newer people, then there was a young lady, 20, 22, 23 at most, but she literally walked directly in front of me, and I could tell she was loaded for bear. Excuse me, may I ask you a question? I said, absolutely. So you don't believe in any kind of mandates as far as the masks or the shots? It's absolutely not. It's our choice. Well, what do you think about abortion? I said, she was loaded, man. She had an attitude. So I asked her, I said, well, tell me what an abortion is. And I won't use the word that she said, because she meant to say fetus, but she used a different word that was not as nice, and I think it was just a slip of the tongue. But to her, and Kevin, once again, back to life having meaning and what they are doing to our kids, bullying and convincing them that life has no meaning, you're not really a little boy, you're not really a girl. So as I'm talking to her, she was basically the typical, oh, my body, my choice. Well, if it's your body, your choice to murder a baby, oh, it's not a baby. It was one where, as I'm standing there knowing that my son, who just turned 22 and is my gift from God, and my life would be just, I can't even imagine my life without my son. And for those that are convinced that it's not a baby, it's not important, and all these that the world is doing to our kids, which as we know is sinister and evil. So this one young lady, and she thought she was completely right, and no matter what I said, she wasn't going to hear what I had to say. And thankfully, there was another lady who's a chiropractor, so I was getting a little bit too emotional, so she stepped in and was having a longer conversation. But that's part of where our country is the fact that we need to get back to our roots and say that, the Constitution, what does it say? It says, we the people, in order to form, and it's life, it's liberty, it's pursuit of happiness, there is no such thing, and back to our fatigues and basic training, Kevin, there is no such thing as equal outcomes, no matter what you do. This is a country, and we've been the greatest, because why? Given an opportunity, here's your opportunity, what are you going to do with it? If you don't want to do anything, that's up to you, but the rest of us shouldn't have to pay for your lack of initiative.
Exactly. it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's everybody for themselves, but that, I mean, that's basically what it is. Anybody can do what they want to do. It doesn't matter what their background is in this country. Well,
absolutely.
It's turning not to be that way. It's turning out to work against some people, you know, different organizations, like want to make things fair for themselves or corporations. You know, it's just a lot of things going on. Politicians, people are taking advantage of insider trading, and it's okay. It's legal. And you, like, the thing that makes me really angry is all these congressmen and senators, they get a cutout for the shots. The rest of the federal employees have to have it. Number two, they don't get their security clearances. They just, it's just given to them, like Swalwell and everything.
These
are crimes. You and I had to go through all that, you know, security clearance, whatever. I don't know if you're a top secret or not. Top secret was really hard to get.
Yeah, I was.
It took me 6 months.
Yes, I got a secret clearance, yes.
And
if we left the paper, if we left a paper that was classified, coworkers who had, some of them had secret clearances as a top secret, if we left just a document out, you know, again, they reprimand us, take a stripe, and here it is. And when you're saying as far as the clearances go, so think about who has just recently in the last 10, 15, 20 years. So during the Obama administration, we had somebody who was known to vote for the communists, you know, running the CIA, his Obama's main person, born in Iran, knowing that she had her deep ties to the Iranian regime and never gave those up. How did she ever get any of them get a clearance, never mind the top secret, everything that's going on in the country? And say right down the line, as you said, the people who should not even have qualified to get the basic clearance, and they're part of running our nation.
Exactly. Yes, they are, and they're just giving it to them. There's no checking or anything, because they called people I knew, people I didn't even refer to them. They just found friends of friends and everything. People were saying, so they questioned me why I had a lot of trips overseas, and I was like, I was in the military. Okay, that's going to happen. So it gets ridiculous what they do for regular people, but you can do whatever you want if you're a politician. And that's just got to stop. Everything, they get everything they want, everything they need, carve outs and all that. And they make it a career to make millions. And, you know, that's, it's just too much power up there, apparently. And, you know,
it's disgusting. And you think about your job, how important your job in the Air Force, and those people who were your best supervisors were the ones that, if they did not know the job per se, they deferred to those of you who hopefully who did know the job. I know as controllers, we had our chief of air traffic and some of the others who, I mean, they'd kind of go through, we call it pencil whipping them, where they go through to quote unquote get certified, where they never really were. So those that weren't necessarily skilled even in the slightest in what we did, now they're telling us how to do our jobs. And the ones that were on a power trip, they're telling us to do certain things. And we're like, look, you can't do that. That's not in our regulations, or that's not feasible. So it was very frustrating learning that. And then now we have politicians, as you were alluding to, that they're completely incompetent. They've never had a real job in their entire life, and yet 10 and 20 and 30, and for Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and some of the others have, you know, been there for 30 and 40 and 50 years with – and no experience. And yeah, you need more money. Yeah, just go raise people's taxes and go buy some more stocks on insider trading and just make your money. So it is. It's very, very. And where Trump, people can say what they want to say about Trump, but you know, he's worked his tail off since he was a little kid, and his kids were out hammering nails and working in the construction world. And so looking that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree was definitely an honor to have the Trump kids who know how to work. And then on the flip side, back to the lack of parenting, we have Joe Biden's son who's, you know, nothing but a druggie and the trouble he's gotten into. And we talk about somebody who should have been in prison many times over.
Yeah.
And yet he's enabled to live a life that he's hurting himself because his dad just, go ahead and do what you want to do. And very, very, very frustrating. I was going to, if you don't mind, Kevin, I was going to ask you, since you're in Ohio, so as active as you are in politics, what do you think about the Lindsey Grahams of the world, Lindsey per se, since I'm here in South Carolina?
I think they, I think that he aids the Democrat Party, gives them ideas, and he's not a patriot, in my opinion. I mean, he's, I know he was a, he was the guy that they had to have for the majority last time. But the guy that I met that you when you were down at Rock the Red that was running against
Mike,
him.
Michael.
That's the guy.
Yeah, Michael Lafayette.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the guy
Absolutely.
That I wanted. And people like that, I mean, they have a big, giant machine that rips people to pieces. For you to get up to that level, you know, get elected, it's almost impossible. They have their own ecosystem of being there. I mean, you're right, like you said, you've been there 30, 40 years. That's ridiculous. Even if you're a federal employee and your name is Fauci and you've been there all that time and you're 80-some years old, that would never happen in the real federal system. So there's a lot of things that aren't right. And, you know, there's a time you got to go. Let it go.
Well, look at the Fauci's of the world. Look at every single person making decisions based on literally shutting our economy down. We need 2 weeks to stop the spread and stop the – well, we know that once they saw how compliant people were, they said, we can run with this because we want to get Trump out no matter what. So those that are making the decisions to literally crush tens of thousands of private businesses, people have worked their entire lives, entire life savings are gone forever. And yet every one of the decision makers has not only not lost a penny, those in the government didn't even go to work, and I'm warning a few, the libraries, and they never even went to work, never lost one, teachers in certain states, never even went to work, full salaries, not an issue, and enjoying themselves, taking vacations, and they're making decisions where the rest of us that actually work and have never stopped working through all this. And that's where the incompetence comes in, like you're right, though, Lindsay. And I'm not going to go into it's not a need to go into how we're trying to get rid of him, and it's going to take us a yeoman's effort, and we're certainly not going to back down. But a couple more names, because of the people that may be listening from different states, and you have a perception if you're from a different state. So what are your thoughts? Two people, Trey Gowdy and Mick Mulvaney. What do you think about them?
Trey Gowdy. You know, I think he talks a good game, but I'm not really sure he's really down for the cause, as I say in my book. So something about him, he had his chance twice with Hillary. I know he doesn't have that much power, but he didn't really they could have referred something. That's what I'm thinking, you know, and I don't know why he didn't go, you know, with that forward unless he's just a paper tiger. That's just my opinion. I'm kind of disappointed in him. I'm disappointed.
Totally. And one of the things that we should focus on is local, bringing the Constitution back to our local, whether it's a school board, certainly in our city, town, city, and county councils, local, because when you can shake someone's hand, like just 2 weeks ago, literally, Ralph Norman, who certainly you know who he is and whether you've had much opportunity to listen to him, but Ralph being a real estate developer, and he's the one that took Mulvaney's place. But, you know, I had a chance in this little bitty town that I've lived in for the last 2 years, and the whole county is only 28,000 people. So Ralph comes down because this is part of his district, and because he's a businessman, he is part of the Freedom Caucus. So when I've already met him three times now. When I'm shaking his hand, he's accountable where I can talk to him. He gave me his phone number, his cell phone number. So that's what we need is local representation. And as you were saying, as far as Trey goes, so just in a nutshell, so Trey Gowdy is from Spartanburg, South Carolina, born and raised. I've been in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I'm not now, but until 2 years ago, I was in Spartanburg for well over 30 years. I can tell you dozens and dozens and dozens of people that Trey went to church with.
I can give you
lots and lots of examples. And we literally, with our Tea Party and several other groups, we were some of the ones that helped get him elected the first time. And basically, Kevin, from the first time I met him, as you were saying, I didn't trust him. I didn't, as you said, not down for the cause. Trey is not a constitutional conservative by any stretch, and yet he now has apparently a TV show. I think they said on Sunday nights on Fox, which I haven't watched Fox in forever. There's only a few good people on there who are true patriots. But with Trey, I had the chance over the years. We helped him get elected, like I said, and then totally disappointed. So three different times I had one-on-one conversations with him after one of the GOP meetings. And each time he did talk to me, which I give him credit for that, but he didn't like to see me because he knew what I was going to say. And the last time was about 6 or so months probably before Trump was in the picture. And Basically, he's like, well, what do you – he finally got to the point. He said, what do you want me to do, Coach? A lot of people call me Coach Dave. What do you want me to do? I want you to fight for us. And I raised my voice. I said, Trey, you got two kids that aren't going to be in a foxhole someplace in the future, and both of them are lawyers now, like he is a lawyer, and making who knows what. My son was 14 or 15. And so I said, your kids are not going to be in a foxhole someplace. And then you look and you go with Benghazi and with the IRS, with Lois Lerner, which he was doing intentionally to anybody that – and I have a friend in another county who was targeted for 3.5 years, Kevin. They put her through hell because she was just trying to get her nonprofit status for her Tea Party. Sweet, sweet, hard right. worker, one of the most honest, ethical, just a wonderful person, her and her husband. And they put her through hell. Why? Because she's a conservative Christian. And so here it is, Trey is doing his what I call a dog and pony show, but especially Benghazi. Benghazi just infuriates me because I know guys who are very close by, and some of the stories I won't go into right now, I want to get clearance from them to share them. But the fact that we left them there intentionally, oh, we didn't know, we didn't have enough time to get there. Oh, okay, so you knew how much time it was going to take to go rescue our guys that are calling for the cavalry? No, that's completely a lie. So, but anyway, with Trey, it was one where people around the country still, oh, he needs to be whatever, Supreme Court, he needs to be here. No, he has a zero, and again, I'm not going to go through some of the things that I know why he did what he did for, because he's unwilling. So my point in all this is we, Kevin, you and I, every single person listening, we were born, God created us to do certain things on this earth while we are here. Trey Gowdy was a brilliant prosecutor who never lost a case. He had the chance to put people into prison, whether it's Hillary herself or some of the others, but the people that could have gone to prison, and at least there was accountability finally, where the things that are happening right this very second, at least at that point they would have thought, maybe they actually will hold us accountable, and we should. No, there's no accountability. They can do what they want, and Millie gets away with what he gets away with, and they keep moving them up the food chain and making more money. So that's part of my story, that keeping it local, having the opportunity to shake someone's hand, look them in the eye when they come back after 6 months and said, Trey, you told me, why haven't you done it? Well, no, don't give me well. Why haven't you done it? So,
right.
So that's kind of a long-winded story to say, how do we have our representatives absolutely actually represent us and not represent the big business? So
you sound like Jerry McDaniel now. So she mentioned
that's
something
a wonderful
like that.
Compliment to them.
Yes, she's awesome. But she talked about that a little bit to us, and we're like, whoa, okay. And so, I mean, you guys, I know you're big in politics, and you get, help people get elected and everything, and you don't know. Sometimes you don't know who the bad eggs are or who's really for real. And just like Trey Gowdy, I lost all respect for him after he let Hillary go the first time.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
So,
and another one
too many people like
yes.
that. Yeah.
Yes. They backed down and they said it, whatever it was for the Benghazi, supposedly $40 million. How do they spend $40 million for a so-called investigation? It wasn't or hearings, whatever you want to call it. And then another one that I want to throw out there is Nikki Haley. And she's another one we helped get elected the first time. Didn't trust her. And she's thrown Trump under the bus. And so she's another ladder climber, as I call her, where she's self-serving. And so here it is. We, Kevin, you came down here. You love Green Group. We are one of the most conservative Christian areas in the entire world. I can tell you people I meet on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Go out to eat and you're praying before your meals and all the things. And yet, our representation, we are the bluest of the red states because they get down into the political world and it's self-serving.
Yes, and now you have, let's see, who is that? Lynn Wood in your state. So,
absolutely. So tell me what you think about Lynn. That's not a good one. No.
And he is not the second coming of Christ. I'll just say that,
he says. He's not. He's come a long way, and I still, I'm not going to put my seal of approval on him whatsoever. The thing that he has done, though, is he's kind of like Trump, where he gets in and stirs things up, which we do need.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but I think he's walking the walk. He's, becoming more of a devout Christian and wants to do the right things. And so, like I said, I've had some conversations with him one-on-one a few times, and he's trying to help a few of my friends and different things. So we'll see how that shakes out. But, we do. We need people that are willing to say, this is what I am standing for. I'm with you. And those people that have an opportunity to run, Kevin, whether they're a school board or whatever it is, when they will stand up and do the right thing, follow the Constitution. Look, I'm not helping people get elected. I'm not saying like that I'm some big shot. I'm not. I'm just a little grassroots guy and help when I can and talk to people and network. But when you stand up and do the right thing, I'm not looking for you to do the right thing. My friend's not looking for you to do it so that you turn around when you get elected. Oh, here's a contract or here's a note. Do the right thing for our nation, and we've got your back, period. Just do the right thing.
Right.
Follow the Constitution, and we're good. We will stand behind you. But as soon as you start to waver, then that's where you're going to lose us, because that's not what you were running on. And the Constitution, other than the Bible, is one of the most amazing documents ever written in the history of the world.
Absolutely. And there are people who still think this is democracy. Those are people that are
exactly.
enemies of the country.
Yep. Yeah, they're the same people that tell us we came from the Big Bang, there was nothing, and then all of a sudden, boom, and we came from, you know, the primordial ooze from a single cell amoeba, and no, it doesn't work. We're a little bit more complicated than that.
So that theory right there would say everybody developed into the same animal, but only certain animals came out of one section, and it doesn't make any sense. The Bible
Absolutely.
Tells us how that happened. And everything that has breath is a living soul, animals and people. And you can't make that up. You can't. I mean, they're not growing anymore. They're not changing. So how many years that we know of?
Couldn't happen. And you look at the body is absolutely, we still don't understand how the brain works. So fascinating, 130 million receptors in one eye and how the light goes in. And it is absolutely fascinating, the more that we learn. And so that's where, you know, shows like yours, and as we meet at the, you know, whether it's Rock the Red and various rallies to show our traditional American values, where we love everyone, love the sinner, hate the sin, and how do we work together? And they say it's one where I got to throw in from the Constitution side. I think I mentioned to you, Kevin, that literally, you know, my great, 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 way back in the day, grandfather, it's an honor to be on your show, and I am humbled to have the opportunity. And then I literally get goosebumps thinking that General George Washington humbly requested my great-great-grandfather's help back in the day, because he was such a prominent man in Connecticut, and because of his positions as a lieutenant colonel and adjutant general, and ended up becoming the first Supreme Court justice of the state of Connecticut, the Constitution state, that he ratified the Constitution. So here it is, this amazing document. I didn't know this till the last 30 years when my awesome first cousin up in New Jersey, we started researching the family tree, and here it is, our family is one of the founding families of this whole nation. From the 1700s,
that's
early
incredible.
1800s. Yeah, our
1600s.
That's so awesome. Yeah, it's in our DNA. Actually, you're in Ohio, so there's a Rootstown. Of course, my last name being Root. Rootstown, Ohio, was founded by the family and several others in New York and Pennsylvania. And so as you look and say, okay, what are we here for? If you're bold, and we are at a time in our country, Kevin, where people are standing up. It is so awesome watching some of the videos of moms and dads going into the school boards, especially, and saying, no, you're not teaching our kids.
Yeah.
We're not putting up with it. And the things that they are reading, forcing the kids, taking away all the classics and forcing these kids to basically read porn. Guys, come on. No. So thankfully, what's happening up in your neck of the woods as far as that goes?
Well, you know, I thought about the reason our governor DeWine actually put out a $7 million for people to get vaccinated. I think it's $5 million. So whoever got vaccinated got $5 million, I think it was. No, it was $7 altogether. Or they got a full college tuition. So that money actually is from the federal government that was supposed to take care of people that are affected by COVID. So in my opinion, it's a gross misuse of money. And, you know, okay, $7 million got you what? 7 people vaccinated. What is that? How can you justify that? But, you know, people wanted to get the money and everything, and they announced the winners and everything. It's like, this is so bizarre. If you have to work that hard to get 7 people vaccinated, something's wrong with what you're doing. And what about all the people that are in the hospital sick and they can't pay for the bills? Nothing.
Absolutely.
And we didn't even know we had
the
money. And these are the kind of things.
Money,
that's what's happening in Ohio. Yes.
Yeah, DeWine's definitely not a conservative by any stretch, is he?
No. You know, I don't want to say anything bad about him, but I just because you're the attorney general and you were the and you're a senator, and then now you have to be the governor. You know, it's just like it's the typical, you know. Let me add it. And then the other thing on top of that is his daughter is running. They didn't even show a picture of her. Oh, just vote for my daughter, because based on name recognition, we never know what she is. I don't know what she looks like. And just keep it in the family.
Just,
you know, that's
just
the push is good.
Absolutely. No, the elites have their, you know, they. Isn't it amazing, Kevin, how all those politicians, each one of their kids gets into Harvard and into Princeton and into Yale, and even though they probably couldn't
right.
pass the beginning stages of it, and it's not about what they accomplish, it's about the connections. Next thing you know, they're like Chelsea Clinton, first, you know, gets a job for millions of dollars of, you know, working for one of the networks. And so, like, say money has
like
no meaning.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
Right.
And so that's just one tidbit of what they've done. And I want to throw in there, Kevin, when you're talking about the, you know, even if it was for a good reason and they got thousands of people and you got a quote-unquote college education out of the deal, those people that have an opportunity, there's very few people who can make it through college these days and come out, quote-unquote, a traditional American value person. The
right.
pressure,
yeah.
And I say one of the people that's a lady that I have been dating for several years, and she, like me, grew up in New England, grew up in Connecticut, and then her mother, unfortunately, after her dad passed away, her mother had a massive stroke, and she already had a sister living in California, so they knew the weather would be so much better for her mother, who had the stroke, to live in Southern California as opposed to the Connecticut winters. So she moved out there and took care of her mother for almost 30 years. But she worked for the California, within the California university system. And
right.
she said from the time she arrived, it was bad. She retired 3 years ago. From the time she arrived, and then almost 20 years later, she literally could not have a conversation. She couldn't let anybody know that she's a Christian, she's a traditional American, and the people that they will hire, only hire, if you're not, and I'm, you know, when I'm getting ready to, you know, go off on this tangent, I'm not going
right.
to do that, but if you are not
right.
one of the ones that's just, that they won't even, and the money that they make and how they live, so my point in all this is my son, who just turned 22 a few weeks ago, and he went to tech school because he was going to go to Clemson University, which is an hour and a half away where his mother went, and that's where she wanted him to go. And my son's a man. I raised him to be a man. And I said, bud, you make up your own mind. He said, Dad, I'm not going over there and spending that kind of time and money, and it's not where I'm going to invest my time. And so he went to the tech school here in our county, and
right.
you know, he's been working since he was 15 years old. But today, at 22, starting last November, he now drives an 18-wheeler, drives 70,000 pounds worth of tanker trucks, and he's going to make six figures this year as a 22-year-old. Works his tail
awesome.
Off, extremely responsible, amazing young man. Bottom line for me was he had the opportunity. Now, they weren't going to break him. We're very strong. You're not going to break us as far as who we are, because we're grounded in our faith. However, the kids that I have seen that I've coached over the years, and then they come back after going to college, they're a different person. They hate America, hate God.
Yeah,
hate their families, and what are we accomplishing?
Yes, David, I graduated from college in 2017, and it was terrible. All these classes, everybody's labeling themselves. You know, I'm cisgender, I'm this, and you got people.
Mm-hmm.
They put down America all the time. What's good about America? Mm-hmm. You know, what we should switch to communism. This is what's going on, and the professor is you know pushing this. I had a stats
yep.
class that turned into a social justice class, and there was. So I was in the minority. I said, so they're talking about abortion. I said, you know what? The opposite of pro-life is pro-death. She didn't like that
mm-hmm.
at all. So I said, you know, this is what. Or are you okay saying that? I said, I got out of the military. I was in 30 years. Why do I care what you guys think? That's
mm-hmm.
just my beliefs. And
absolutely.
That's what it is. And it's so twisted at universities today. And I had my wife. We have this book. They want my wife to read a book about some kind of lesbian something. I can't remember what it was. And she says, nope, I'm not going to read it. You can't make
nope.
me. So,
absolutely. So you guys,
you know,
as adults,
you got to stand up.
Worldly, are
yeah.
going to say no. And these poor kids that are sitting there, and I, you know, I listen to tons of talk shows because I'm on the road anywhere from 6, 8, 10. Sometimes we're not limited by the time. So there's been several times I'll work 20 hours in a row, literally, and I'm listening to talk shows. So, but the people that will call in and say, well, I'm a patriot, and I'm a Christian, conservative, but I told my kids when they're in college, just do what you have to do to pass. No, stand up. Who cares what that
right.
piece of paper says? A piece of paper says something. Our country is being, and this is, like I tell you this, Kevin, so Mick Mulvaney, Trey Gowdy were at one of their fundraisers. There's about 50 people there, one of our small groups, and prior to Trump, and you can tell I get fired up. So, and I, they, all right, who has questions? And I said, guys, say our country is being systematically destroyed. And I went through four or five quick bullet points. Mulvaney told me, don't get your hair on fire. And I get fired up, Kevin, and I wanted to say something bad to him, the Christian on my own. I'm not supposed to do it. However, I wanted to tell him to go, themselves, because they are lying, number one, and they are go along to get along. Both of them are set for life. They've got an income. They have health insurance. He's got triplet girls. They're never going to be in the military. So, but the point,
right.
in as we look and see what's happening there, is how do we reclaim and restore our country, as opposed to you went through classes, Candy went through classes, and you're seeing how about these poor little kids that are 18, 19, and my niece, who's, I just talked to yesterday, in Massachusetts, 23, phenomenal basketball player, softball player, got a full ride to a small college in Massachusetts. And then when she was a freshman, I said, Mary Kate, what's your favorite class? Conversations with Mother Earth. Now, she's a conservative. She's not a born again Christian yet, but her favorite class, Kevin, was Conversations with Mother Earth.
Whoa.
There's a class called Conversations with Mother Earth.
Whoa.
And those are the things we have to get involved with. What is happening in our world, and say, how do we, and one of the things that I'm standing as we're talking, in my old beat up industrial building that used to be machine shop, that I'm reminiscent of the hobby shops we had in the Air Force, because I want to set up a trade school for veterans,
right.
and mentorship and things to be able to get these kids in here and say, guys, here, this is, and I love when you show your pictures of working on your car and your skill sets with your background and working on some of the most amazing, awesome airplanes in the world. So you took that, and we know that there's a 17-year-old, a 15, a 14 that are out there that'll never have the chance to become an Air Force technician because they're never exposed to it in the first place, and find out, hey, I kind of like that stuff. Let me work on your car some more, and then, well, hey, maybe you should consider. So it's fascinating how that all transpires, but we need to get back into giving an opportunity for these young men to be young men, not turn them into little girls like they've been doing.
You know, I actually do that when I meet young men, especially young black men. I say, hey, what's your future? You know, there's a lot of options out there. If you're smart, you can do a lot of things, and nobody's not going to hire you because you're black. It's your skills mm-hmm. that people are looking for, and you have a big future ahead of you. And a lot of people don't know that. I mean, they just think, well, I'll just get, you know, the regular job somewhere. And, you know, it's endless. You can do whatever you want to do if you think about it.
Absolutely.
It's very important. Very
Absolutely.
Important.
And unfortunately, who are their heroes? It's, you know, it's LeBron, and he's an awesome basketball player. He's
right.
a billionaire now. Well, LeBron hates America, and he's willing to sell out to the Chinese. And his money is not, but when
right.
he's influencing other youngsters, because you're right, it's one of those where if they're looking, well, I want to make a bunch of, okay, great, look, start at, you know, $8, $9, well, now you can start at $12, $13 an hour right now, but work your way up. And as we know, if you will, as a woman, as a young lady, if you will not get pregnant as a teenager, don't get pregnant until you're married, and get a job wherever it may be, whether you're working at a fast food chain or working at the car wall, wherever it is, start there, work your way up. And in America, you know, you can get your own house, you can have your own, of course, vehicles, and you can be successful. But you're right. Very few, unfortunately, the kids these days even hear that, and somebody encouraged them to say that they want to be victims. You know, you and I as Christians know that, look, Jesus won the war. So one of the quotes I love from Chip Ingram, one of my favorite pastors on the radio, is that, you know, we fight from victory, not for it. So are you
right.
a victim?
Yeah.
No, we're Christian. We are born and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and him rising on the third day after being crucified for our sins. And that's not something that I was comfortable saying 20 years ago, but we learned. And that's
right.
So it's an honor to meet you and talk with Michael LaPierre and some of the other guys at the event. And actually, I'd love to get you some more information and we'll tell you when the next Rock the Red is coming up. And we also have a newspaper that's in the printed newspaper, very small, but it's in the middle part of the state coming up to our area. So I want to do some interviews with you, and you recommend, you know, other people, because that's where the networking comes in, Kevin, because we know this is the way I look and say, if there's one person right now who's listening that we can inspire a little bit to, maybe I could, all right, go to your precinct, go to your county council, go to your city council, and you know, if you want some advice on how to get started, you know, talk to Kevin and see what's next. But it is, we need to have our, it's tough for me to say we need our Army, because us being Air Force guys, but we need our Army, the ground pounders and stuff that I respect so much.
Yeah. Donovan Larkins, you mentioned him earlier, a great resource. He's going to try to get Alveda King for my program. So that's going to be awesome. And if you know anybody, any big people, I'm sure you do, that would be, I mean, she's a piece of history, you know, and everything. I was on a Zoom call one time, and she was on it. I was like, what?
Really?
I get invited to these things.
She is such
like,
an amazing lady. Amazing. What a blessing and a gift she is. And one of the gentlemen we had a church we formed about 3 years ago, that was basically three pastors. It was so small that one would take one Sunday, and they worked it out. But the one gentleman married a beautiful lady. They're both in their 50s. But she literally grew up right across the street from Dr. King.
Yeah.
So she said, I don't know exactly how old she is, but I think mid-50s. But, yeah, so she saw what they went through, and what she remembers was that, you know, they were going to stand up and do the right thing, and they weren't about violence. And so for her to see her and her testimony, one of the things I love about Tony, because he was a chaplain for Clemson University football team for years, and people kept trying to pull him in, Tony, you're black, you're supposed to be a, he says, where did that come in? I'm a Christian.
Right.
So Tony said, everyone is equal at the foot of the cross. Everyone. It isn't about race, isn't about where you were born or how much money you have or don't have. And so it's, like I said, that's the things I, you know, love about you and the people that you work with, and listening to Donovan. And I mean, I was totally inspired right away. My challenge is I want to do too many different things. It's like, I need to have a farm like he's got, and he's raising all these, and he's raising up men and helping the girls with their side. Yeah, I'd love to connect with him, because he is someone who's taking the gifts that God gave him.
Okay. Yes, I will do that. Rhonda Furin asked for Rhonda Furin's, she's running for governor of California. She asked for that information. So, yeah, he's a great guy.
Excellent.
So is there anything else you want to say? We have 2 minutes left where people can reach you.
Okay, 2 minutes left.
I'd
love to, absolutely. And anyone that's listening, I apologize for my rambling. I go off my tangents. And Kevin and I had nothing planned on this as far as we – coach, call me up and let's talk. So I have no trouble talking now, as you can tell. I used to, but not anymore. So yeah, if they want to contact me on either Facebook, Kevin, you can, my last name is Root, so David Root. And if they want to, should I give my number, or what do you think is the best thing here, Kevin?
I think they can just contact you on Facebook. So David Root, a friend of mine. So just look through my friend list and you'll see David Root on there. Very stand up guy that I enjoyed meeting, and we talked a lot down in South Carolina, and it was awesome. That's how to say it.
It was a blessing.
Good
blessing,
time.
Blessing. Another one of those ordained meetings, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, never forgot you. It was a great experience, and I didn't go to the last one because of my wife was having issues. I actually went to I did go to speak down in Naples for another event with John DeLemme, but I did not make Rock the Red because of other issues. So I want to go there next year.
And did you?
And it's sad, like you were saying,
absolutely.
with it's very sad with what happened.
Presley. And we need to talk more about that one, Kevin, because we're going to have the details, but they basically killed him. This is not something we're saying. I'm not saying this to be, super dramatic, but we'll go more into that. Another thing we're going to do is put classes together. How can people be healthier so you don't have to go into the hospital? So, Presley, great man. And say that's why, he set it up, and you and I would not have met if not for that. So I'm so thankful for the things
that he
did in the course of his life. So thank you, my friend. I appreciate you and
left.
All that you're doing. And okay. What else?
I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on. And, I mean, you guys, I picked the best people for this show, and you are definitely at the top.
You're too kind. So you're going
to. So hold on for a second. I'm going to do it.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.